And thank you for coming to spend this time with us, to join us as we look at what the word says. And we are still on our series, Triumph. Hallelujah. Triumph. And we are looking at faith. Hallelujah. Triumph, faith. And we said that the teaching is called the faith of the word of God. Triumph, the faith of the word of God. What is that? We're looking at faith in accordance with what the word of God says faith is. Hallelujah. And last week, you know, I tried to get into it, but there were some things, there was a foundation that I wanted to kind of like, you know, put in place before I can deliver this message to you, because the faith, you know, according to what the word of God is, it requires a level of spiritual understanding, spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, spiritual intelligence. Glory to God. And just a recap of what we looked at when we were like, when I was trying to get into what faith is, and I trust that by the grace of God in this episode, I'll be able to deliver to you what the word of God says faith is. And I was saying that, you know, in my journey and in my development as a Christian, you know, working, exercising my faith, building my faith, putting my faith to work and so on and so forth, I found myself going through one thing or the other. You know, sometimes it'll hit, sometimes it'll miss, sometimes it hits. And it was hit and miss, you know, with faith, you know, like I do the Bible, that man of God said faith is this, and then I do that, I get the result. And then I'm faced with another circumstance and I do the same thing, I don't get the result. And so it was, all I wanted to do was to know and to find out what is the absolute knowledge, the complete definition of what faith is. Because there has to be a complete and accurate definition of what faith is. Hallelujah. Because faith is very important. Faith is important. Faith is one of the most important revelations of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Actually, faith is a part of the foundational doctrines of Christ. Hallelujah. When you study in Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1, hallelujah, going into verse 2, it says faith toward God, says one of those are the foundational doctrines of Christ, which is faith toward. So, and remember, what we also said was that in Hebrews chapter 11, from verse 6, says without faith it is impossible to please God. And what we said is that the gospel of Christ is the one that delivers. It delivers faith. The gospel of Christ contains faith. And also what we said is that the gospel of Jesus Christ also contains and reveals righteousness. So the gospel of Jesus Christ contains and reveals faith, and the gospel of Christ also contains and reveals righteousness. It imparts faith. The gospel reveals and imparts faith. Hallelujah. And the gospel of Christ reveals and imparts righteousness. All right. There is a righteous, and that for you to actually receive righteousness, it comes through the transportation of faith. For you to be able to receive the gospel, so the gospel contains faith. And when you hear the gospel, it transfers and it transmits faith into your spirit, where you to be able to awaken your spirit to be able to believe, hallelujah, the word of God. And then when you believe it and you respond to it, right, in application of the right of the principle, that there is a technicality of faith. There's a technicality of the principle of faith. And when you apply it accordingly, it delivers righteousness. It delivers righteousness into the man's spirit. Hallelujah. Which is what produces the miracle of salvation in the human spirit. So just talking about salvation and delivering salvation in the human spirit, I want to just tell you, like in a nutshell, just the summary of God's plan of salvation, according as you, when you're studying the scriptures, I'll just summarize it for you so that you know, because some of God's children are not really aware of what salvation is really about. Okay, so there's a process of salvation. Okay, there's a process of salvation. All right, so now there's the salvation of the human spirit. Glory to God. There's the salvation of the human spirit when a man receives the gospel and he believes. Glory to God. And when he believes the gospel and he applies the principle of faith, a miracle takes place. And that miracle is the miracle of the person's spirit being recreated, and they become a new creation. So now that is that miracle, you know, is a miracle that is based on the sovereignty of God's power. The sovereignty of God's power delivers salvation in the human spirit. Hallelujah. Beyond what the brain or the mind of that human being can actually think or understand as to what happens or how it happens or how God is able to make that happen through the through a person's believing the gospel and acting on it in faith and now receiving that miracle of recreation. Okay, it's so that is the first part. So that it's in three parts. The salvation of man is happening in three parts. Okay, so now the first part is the salvation of the human spirit. Okay, that one God is responsible for that one. We need sovereignty. That through the gospel, God decided that through the message of the gospel of Christ, that a man or a woman can receive salvation of their human spirit and be born again and receive a new spirit inside of them. All right. So now that is that one God does. You cannot. God is the one that decided and set this as a law. That through the south, through Yeshua, through believing in Yeshua, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Yeshua, a man will or a woman will get born again, okay? By the power of God. The Bible says by the working of God, by his own working, through the gospel, God by his own working delivers salvation to a person's human spirit, okay? Which makes you a child of God, right? And the Bible calls God the Father of spirits. God is the Father of spirits. So he gives birth to a new spirit in you, all right, when you receive the gospel. So that's the first part. And now that one, God is responsible for that one. God took responsibility for that one. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God took is responsible for that one. Okay, that's the first one. And then the second part of salvation has to do with the salvation of your soul. Now, the salvation of your soul, that one has to do with your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your emotions. Now, that second part of salvation. So, after your spirit is born again, which God is responsible for, okay? Now, there's the salvation of your soul, right? It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So, it says, the engrafted word is able to save your soul, okay? So, now, but then the thing is that, when you study Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed unto this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now the renewing of your mind, that one has to do with your mind. All right. You are the custodian of your mind. Hallelujah. You are the custodian of your mind. And then the element of free will where your mind is concerned means that God cannot renew your mind for you. Okay, so the renewal of your mind, you have to renew your mind for you. So that means the salvation of your soul, which has to do with the renewing of your mind, you are responsible for it. So if you do not participate and you do not make a decision using your free will, hallelujah, to transform your mind will remain unrenewed. All right. So that means that your mind, your soul will remain conformed to the way or that this world does or thinks or sees things. So the salvation of your soul, you are the one that is responsible for it. So if you do not ingest the word of God, if you do not practice the word of God, if you are a hearer and not a doer of the word of God, if you don't meditate on the word of God, if you do not study the word of God, and then you say, okay, I used to think that for me to get or to accomplish this, I have to go left. But I'm seeing in my Bible that God wants me to go right for me to get there. If you do not practice, if you do not participate using your own personal, your free will, God, that's why God gave you a free will so that he cannot renew. He cannot change your mind for you. God cannot change your mind for you. All right. You have to use the word of God. All right. Through the ability, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's there to help you, all right, to save your soul. So the Holy Spirit is now there to help you to renew your mind. He's there to teach you all things and to help to teach you that, okay, you don't do it this way, you do it that way. You don't do it, that was wrong, you must do it this way, this is the right way. Okay, so now the Holy Spirit was there, but he needs you to use your free will to save your soul. So he's the one that now saves your soul. There, we're talking about the salvation of the human soul. That is your mind, will, and emotions. You are the one that is responsible for it. And the Holy Spirit was given to you to help you. So the Holy Spirit will not renew your mind for you. So being born again, that's one thing. Now that you're born again, it's now your responsibility as a Christian to change, to renew, to save your soul. Jesus will not save your soul for you. All right? You are the one that is the custodian of your soul, and he gave you the responsibility to do that. Okay, so it says receive with meekness. It says you receive, use your free will to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. All right, so that is the work that you have to do. So the renewal of the mind is a work that you have to do. It doesn't happen because your human spirit is born again. Okay, so now that's the second one. All right, now the third one, the third one in this whole journey of salvation that man is in with God, in the plans and purposes of God to save man, the third one, that one now is the salvation of the physical body. Okay, the salvation of this physical body. Now, according to the scriptures, the salvation of the physical body, Jesus Christ is the one that is responsible for that one. Okay. And the Bible says that when he shall appear, he says, then we shall be like him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says when he shall appear. So it says Jesus Christ shall appear again the second time unto salvation. It says without sin unto salvation. What salvation? What salvation was he talking about? It's not the salvation of the human spirit, right? He's talking about the redemption of the physical body. Okay, the redemption, it says we that are alive shall be caught up together, and we shall meet the Lord in the air. It says we shall be changed. Hallelujah. So now when Jesus is the one that comes, and he's the one that will enact the salvation of our physical body. Okay, so now Jesus is responsible for that transformation, for the transfiguration and the salvation of the physical body of man. Okay, so God the Father is the one that took responsibility for the salvation of your spirit, and he gave you a new spirit as the Father of spirits, and he gave you a new spirit. He says, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my judgments. It says, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. All right, so God took responsibility of that, and he put his nature of righteousness in us at the new birth. And then now that we are born again, now it's our responsibility, with the help of the Spirit of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, who was sent to help us. He's our helper. He was sent to help us so that we can now begin to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can now begin to put to work the salvation of our soul. So the salvation of our soul is our responsibility. God the Father is not going to do that for us. Jesus will not do that for us. We are the only ones that can do it. But we do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Now that is, in a nutshell, the whole process of salvation and who is responsible for what. God is the one that is responsible for the salvation, the miracle of salvation of a human spirit. You can't do that. You can't save yourself. Okay? So God took responsibility for that, right, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that put the principle of faith that will make sure that when you receive the gospel and you believe it in faith, you receive a new spirit in you. That is the work. That is the working of God. That's what the Bible says. Okay? And then now the Bible talks about the salvation of your soul. That is your mind, will, and emotions. Now you are the one that is responsible for that. It's not God the Father, and it's not Jesus. Okay? And then that one, you are responsible for it, and the Holy Spirit was sent to help you to do it, to make it happen. So you are the one that is responsible to renew your mind, but the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you with the power of God to actually save your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And then the Bible says that at the trumpet shall sound. It says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It says, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. It says, when it says we shall be changed. Hallelujah. Well, that's when it says, when he shall appear. It says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It says, but now are we the sons of God. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So now Jesus is the one that is going to now save our physical bodies when he shall appear. Glory to God. So that was just a nice little bonus for you, just so that you can understand what you are responsible for. All right? What you need to do, right, in this life, okay, in the whole process of salvation. Who's responsible for what? The Father, the human spirit, your soul is you, and the body is Jesus. There it is. That's salvation. Okay? So, right now, where you are right now, listening to what the word says, you are participating, you have chosen to participate in the renewing of your mind, all right, through the agency of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and working through me. Okay, so what is faith? Hey, that was just a bonus for you. Okay, so what is faith? Faith, we spoke about so many things. I had to lay down a foundation, the foundation about spiritual grammar. And what we were saying is that there is a way, there's a spiritual intelligence is a real thing. There's some spiritual things that the Holy Spirit gives to you as a child of God. And one of those things is spiritual intelligence, spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding. All right? These are things that the Holy Spirit has been sent to deliver to you, to impart into you through the agency and the ministry of the Word of God. Okay? And these are things that every Christian has been predestined to receive and to function in. Okay? But we have too many Christians who don't even know that these things exist. Okay? So that's why you have all Christians, this one is saying this, that one is saying that, this one is saying this, and it looks like, are you all reading from the same Bible? This one is attacking this one, the other one is attacking the other one, and you're like, oh, what's going on? What's going on, church? Okay. But then there is such a thing as spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. It says desire the pneumaticos. Pneumaticos Sophia. It's a thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual endowment that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul already showed us that you can have it. It's God's desire for you to have it. All right. So you must desire it. And we said that how do you go for the prayers of the Spirit? You go with the ones in Ephesians, the ones in Philippians, the one in Colossians, the one in Thessalonians. There's many of them. And you put them together. I told you and I shared with you that I did that for year after year after year after year in my prayer, praying the prayers of the Spirit. Why? Because I understood that these things exist. There is a pneumatical Sophia, all right, that I can receive from impartation by the Holy Spirit, and it can begin to work in me. So that I can know things, I can have insight into the reality of things. I can have a knowledge by supernatural, by spiritual means, spiritual knowledge. Hallelujah. That is knowledge that is granted to you, that is given to you from God without the agency of human technology. Okay? Hey, that is spiritual knowledge that can come to you. Or something, there's a word of knowledge. You can have a word of knowledge. And that word of knowledge gives you like extraordinary understanding of things. Quick, it says, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him and shall make him of quick understanding. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him and shall make him of quick understanding. Hey. Is it real? Spiritual wisdom, pneumatikos Sophia, spiritual sunesis, spiritual intelligence, pneumatikos sunesis. Is it real? Spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge, pneumatikos epignosis. Is it a real thing? These are real things that the Holy Spirit comes and he grants to you. Hallelujah. He's the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of knowledge. Ha. Hey. Okay. So we went into that foundation so that, you know, when I begin to deliver and communicate these things, you know, it won't go over your head. Okay. So now salvation is through faith. So if you want to understand the principle of faith, the Apostle Paul now gets into this place where this is probably the most important message that he has to teach. This is the most important message that he cannot mess this message up. Because the whole plan of the salvation of man's human spirit through the gospel is based on his understanding of this principle of faith that will enable somebody to receive the word and actually get born again. So he has to communicate it in this most simplest form, all right, but also without losing the power of its meaning. And where do you get that? Why? Because this is if we get this wrong, then the whole salvation plan of Jesus dying, you know, is for nothing. So now the Apostle Paul, now he's given the task and he's taught by the, he says the gospel that if you read Galatians chapter 1, it says this gospel, it was not given unto me from men, it says, but I received it by the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. And remember, if you've been following what the word says, you know I explained this before, that there's a difference between the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the apocalypsis in the knowledge of God. These are two different experiences. Okay? These are two different experiences. And the Apostle Paul, when he said that this gospel, he says, it's not after men. Says, neither was I taught it. Says, but I received it by the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. What is the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ? The other time when there was an apocalypsis of Jesus Christ, the apocalypse was when John was on the island of Patmos. That means Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle John. That's why it is called the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the book of Revelation. It's the book of Apocalypses. What is Apocalypses? It means that Jesus actually reveals to himself to you physically. He appears to you physically. So when the Apostle Paul said that this gospel says I was not taught by any man, says, but it was delivered, it was given to me by the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. So the first time when they say that there's an apocalypse of Jesus Christ was when the 500 saw him. He says that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. That means that he was seen alive before he ascended. That was an apocalypse. That was the manifestation of Jesus Christ in his body. And they saw him. It says he was seen by James and Cephas. Hallelujah. And then he was seen by 500 brethren at once. What is that? That was an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. When the disciples are locked up in the room, when the disciples were locked up in the room because they were scared, just after Jesus was crucified, and the Bible says that then Jesus appeared. It says the doors and everything was locked, and Jesus appeared in their midst. And he says that was an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. When Jesus appears personally, he comes to you in person. And then when the Apostle John is on the island of Patmos, and the book is called the Apocalypse of Yeshua, it's the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Okay? That is different from the apocalypse in the knowledge of God. The apocalypse in knowledge. Now that has to do with spiritual knowledge. It's not an apocalypse of Jesus, of the person of Jesus. So there's a difference between an apocalypse, the revelation of the person of Jesus, and an apocalypse and the revelation of the knowledge of God. That's in the knowledge of the word of God. These are two different things. So when the Apostle Paul says that this gospel was delivered unto me, says it's not after me, says I did not receive it from a man. Says neither was I taught it. Says but I received it by the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That means Jesus appeared to the Apostle Paul personally and told him this message. So now he now has to deliver this message to the world. He has to explain it. What a grace that the Apostle Paul was given. That God will give him this ability, this knowledge, this wisdom, this grace, this honor to be able to explain the gospel. Hallelujah. As it was explained to him by Jesus in person. Okay? And now he has to explain, now in Romans chapter 10, now he has to explain because Jesus appeared to Paul and taught him these things. Okay. So now you got it? There's a difference between the apocalypses of Jesus Christ and the apocalypses in the knowledge of God. Two different things. Okay, you see? All right, so now Paul has to deliver this message because the whole salvation message is hinged on how well he delivers this message of salvation to the world. Okay, so now he begins to write now to the Romans, to deliver this thing. Okay, now he's saying that, okay, there's the righteousness which is of the law. But now this righteousness which is of faith says, there's a way that it works. And I want to explain it to you. Romans chapter 10, let's go. Because this is now where we get the principle and we actually get into the technicalities, the nitty-gritty details of what faith is and how faith works. Okay, so he's explaining the righteousness of God. Says these people in the Old Testament church says they did not submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Says they've been ignorant of God's righteousness. Says they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness. Now he's explaining this thing. Why? Because now he wants to tell them that this righteousness works through faith. This righteousness is the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus, and this is how it works. This is how faith works. So in this teaching of the Apostle Paul, as he delivers it to us, now he reveals what faith is. So I thank God for all the people that tried to explain to me what faith is. But the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you need to go and find out what the word says faith is. Verse 5, Romans chapter 10, verse 5. It says, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. It says Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law. So now we're getting into, we want to find out what is faith, what the word actually says, what is written concerning faith in the word. Okay, it says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall, no, okay, let's go back to verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of the law speaks on this wise, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again back from the dead. What saith it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ha! So in this portion of scripture, faith is defined. And the Apostle Paul had to be accurate in his definition and in his description of how faith works. Okay? He couldn't mess up here. He couldn't, that's why he didn't say evidence of things not seen. No, this is not the place for that. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now that was for the Jews, you know, because they had a background of faith. Okay, they had a background of faith because they are the ones that were God's chosen people. So they had a relationship with God from before. So they understood things of faith and belief and so on and so forth. Do you understand? So now he's writing to the Romans. So now these are people that he has to break it down in the simplest terms. Let's go through it now slowly, and then you're going to see what the word of God actually says, how the word describes faith. This is what we're here to do. We want to find out how the word describes faith. What does the word say faith is? That's what I want to know. That's the one that I want to put to work. That's the one that I need to be equipped with. Because that is the one that's going to make me triumphant. That is the one that is going to make me overcome the world. Because that is the one that Jesus used to overcome the world. He says, cheer up, I have overcome the world. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Okay, so everywhere Jesus went, he overcame. There is a principle that he was aware of. Have you always wondered, why was Jesus so calm and so bold and so confident every time? He was never shaken. He was never caught by surprise. He was never like Moses, oh, Father, we are here by the Red Sea. What shall we do? Jesus was never like that. Okay, he just walked on the water, never in a place of disadvantage. No matter where he found himself, he was always on top. Why? What? And I always wonder, what made Jesus like this? And I discovered that it's because Jesus knew. Jesus knew faith like nobody did. Jesus knew faith. He knew how it worked. He knew how to put it to work. So he knew that no matter where he found himself in life, no matter what situation or circumstance he found, he will use faith. Yeah. And he'll always win, and he'll always dominate, and he always came out on top. And then it says, cheer up, I have overcome the world. And then now the Apostle John says to us, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So now the key is learn, know, have the absolute complete knowledge of what faith is. Because that is how you're going to overcome the world. That is how you're going to be triumphant. That is how you're going to live in victory. That is why no matter what attacks the devil sends your way, the devil is attacking your finances, the devil is attacking your body, the devil is attacking your family, through faith. Says it's through. If there's going to be a change, if there's going to be a winner, if there's going to be somebody that is triumphant, the Bible says to us that it's going to be through faith. If there is going to be a change in your situation, the Bible has already told us that that change is going to be through faith. Faith is the victory. Glory to God. And we're here to find out what the Word of God says about faith so that we can now take that knowledge, and begin to use it and live in victory and begin to use it, hallelujah, against the wiles of the devil. Hey, glory to God. So now let's look at it slowly. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Hey, look at something. Slow down. Spiritual understanding. I remember this, I told you last week that there's a thing called spiritual grammar. There's something called spiritual grammar. That means that there is a way that spiritual things are communicated. And you have to pick, your spirit has to be sensitive to it. So if you've been praying these prayers of the Spirit, I'm filled with the knowledge of His will in all Sophia and spiritual intelligence. So you can pick when you read scripture, you don't just you go and you don't catch anything. When you read certain things, so now I was studying this thing, and the word jumps. The word will jump. It will just jump and boom, it will hit you. The Holy Spirit will bring it. He will pick it up from the scriptures from you, and He will put it in your head. Like here. So now let's read it slowly. Very important scripture. Romans chapter 10 verse 6 says, "But the righteousness which is of faith." Now slow it. Now stop. Now when it goes, which is of, stop. And then it goes on to say, faith. So now the Spirit of God here, through the Apostle Paul, is now talking about faith. And then now he writes faith there, which is pistis. Okay? And then he says, the next one here is speaks. And then otherwise, then after that, he says, in this manner, on this wise, in this way. Glory to God. Says it speaks in this way. And then he says, now he describes it. I want you to forget what he said before the word faith. And everything that is said after the word speaks, okay? And then what do you have that is written there in the Word of God? What do you have? What is the composition that is written there in the scripture? It says faith speaks. So now that jumps from the scriptures. If you're paying attention, it will jump. Faith speaks. The Word of God says to us, faith speaks. This thing, I didn't write it. It was the Holy Spirit put it there like that. The Apostle Paul, who got this message by the Apocalypse from Jesus Christ himself, now writes it in this way, being empowered, being moved by the Holy Spirit. And he takes these two words, faith speaks, and he puts them together. So now he tells us faith speaks. Forget, don't worry about the other explanations, him now trying to elaborate on that. Just focus on that. We want to know what the Word of God says about faith. The Word of God now, we see here in Romans chapter 10 verse 6, when the Apostle Paul is explaining faith on how somebody actually receives salvation to get born. So he has to make it as explicit as possible. Because it's a make or break. If he doesn't explain this principle properly here, nobody gets saved. Okay, so now he says, faith speaks. Some of you have caught it. Says, faith speaks. So now, as I was like, faith speaks. Faith, you see, when you're meditating on the scripture, you stop, it's faith speaks, faith speaks, faith speaks, faith speaks, faith speaks. Those words were carefully chosen and put together like that by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was describing faith, when the Holy Spirit was defining faith, when the Holy Spirit was explaining faith. So in your meditation, you are there. Faith speaks. Faith, the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Faith speaks. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. The Holy Spirit stays, now tells me, stay there. Stay there. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. I'm like, hi. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. And it says, okay, go further. Go further. Let's go further. It says, the righteousness which is of faith speaks in this manner. It speaks in this way. So now what? The Holy Spirit says, faith is the spoken word. Faith is the word spoken. Faith is the spoken word. Faith speaks. Now we're talking what? Spiritual grammar. Faith speaks. Spiritual intelligence. This is where spiritual intelligence comes in for you to grasp these truths. For you to be able to pull out the definition, what the word of God says faith is. Now he tells you faith speaks. Faith speaks. So now, faith is from the Greek word. Let's find out what the Greek word for faith is. Faith is, the word there is pistis, right? It's pistis. And that word, pistis, it talks about persuasion. Okay? It's persuasion. And then when you study this whole portion of Romans chapter 10 from verse 6 to 10, you actually find out that, and you get to put all these things that the Holy Spirit is communicating in that portion of scripture to explain to us the, how the principle of faith works when somebody is receiving salvation in Christ. The description that you now come up with there is that faith is the present continuous state of spoken persuasion. It's the present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Okay? Because when you look at pistis is just persuasion. All right? It's persuasion. The definition of pistis will be persuasion. Okay? So now it tells you now faith speaks. Now in the Greek there are many words that are used to say speak, say, utter, share, explain. One of them is lego, all right? So now in Romans chapter 10, verse 6, it says, pistis lego, which means faith speaks, all right? So faith speaks. So it's a continuous speaking. So it's a continuous speaking that forms a permanent state of persuasion. Now I'm explaining what the word says because I'm just taking the words as they were put together in the Bible by the Holy Spirit. And I'm now breaking. This is not my definition. I'm defining the words that have been put together. Pistis lego. In Romans chapter 10, verse 6, pistis lego. Which is faith speaks. Okay? So what he's telling is that there's a persuasion from speaking. A state of persuasion. A state of persuasion that is produced from speaking. So it is produced, it's like it comes from speaking and it also is produced from the speaking. Okay? So now that's why he says that faith comes by hearing. So now that makes sense. Why he says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema of God. What is the rhema? That is the spoken word. So that's why I said that it is the present continuous state, all right, of spoken persuasion. That's why faith comes by hearing. You have to continually hear it. So there's a spoken persuasion, hallelujah, that puts you in a state. It transports you into a state. That is faith, spoken persuasion. It says faith and it speaks, and its character is to speak. Present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Let's look for other places where the Holy Spirit was describing faith. It's in the same context, okay? If some of you are probably still arguing, but this man of God said faith is this faith. No, let's look what is the word saying faith is. That is what is important. That's the one that's important. That's the one that you must desire. This desire the pneumaticos. Hey, okay. It says, say not in your hearts, who shall ascend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall ascend into the deep, that is to bring him up again from the dead. It says, this one, there are no questions. What if? It says, it is a present continuous state of spoken persuasion. There's no what if, there are no questions. There's no questions. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the healed of God. I am the blessed of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey, a present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Ha! Faith speaks. Faith is the spoken word. It's a present continuous state of spoken persuasion. I am great because the greater one lives in me. Hey, somebody's telling you, you never amount to anything. Nobody in your family will ever amount to anything. Hey, nothing. But then when you get to the word and you start meditating on the word, it says, greater is he that is in you. Because the greater one is in me, that means that I can be, I'm great. If the greater one, or if the greatest one, chose to live in me, that means that there's something about me. Hey. Ooh, glory to God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Faith speaks. Spoken persuasion. Pistis is persuasion. Go and study the Greek. It will tell you there. All right? But now it tells you that pistis lego. Hey. Okay, let's look at a different definition or explanation of the same thing. It's in the context. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? It says, the word is near you. It says, the word, that word that he chose, word, is not logos. It is the rhema. It is the spoken word. Rhema is the spoken, the active word. Yeah. It says, the rhema. What rhema, what spoken word is this? Let's read. Says it is in your mouth. Now Paul has to now tell you that he has to be very descriptive, because this is a make or break. Otherwise, salvation, people are not going to be able to receive. Okay, so Jesus Christ has died, buried, and risen. Now, the next responsibility is that people are now free. People can now receive salvation. So now, how are the people going to receive salvation? Who knew? Nobody knew. You didn't know. No preacher knew how people were supposed to receive salvation. Nobody just woke up and said, okay, I've decided that since Jesus died and was buried and he rose again, this is how people should now receive salvation. It was not man's idea. There was no man that came up with this idea. The apostle says that I received it by the apocalypse. Says Jesus is the one that said it. He's the one that taught it. Says neither was I taught it by any man. Says but I received it. It was given. It was delivered unto me by Jesus Christ himself. That is the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. So now he's teaching us now. Because how would he have known how people are supposed to receive salvation? Unless the man who died, got buried and rose and taught him. Unless Jesus taught him. So now, he's delivering us to us what he received in the desert of Arabia, where he was there for 3 years. And Jesus was appearing to him. Jesus was visiting him and he was teaching him these things. Okay, so it says, even in your mouth. So now he's telling you where faith, which instrument, which part of your body where faith works. Kaya, he didn't say the faith works in your hand. He didn't say faith works in your leg. He didn't say faith works in your shoulders. He says this thing is going to be working in your mouth. he didn't want to leave us confused. Yeah, because no, faith is this. Faith without action is... Hey, this is James now. Faith without works is dead. Faith in... what is the action and where is the action? Let's talk Bible now. Because the apostle James was attacking this message of Paul, you know, and you know they were arguing. James and Paul didn't agree, because these things that Paul was sharing, it was a lot for some people. Okay, but Paul said that I received this. Says neither was I taught it. Says neither is it after men. Says but I received this message of faith, of salvation through faith in Christ. Says I received it by the apocalypses of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to me and he taught this thing to me personally. Okay? But James didn't have that testimony. So now we want to take this testimony from the Apostle Paul. Because why would you want to take the testimony of the Apostle Paul? Because you now you have to take this testimony of this teaching of faith of the Apostle Paul, and you now need to go and look for another witness. And we have another witness. And that is Jesus Christ. So now you can see, when I show you what Jesus says about faith, you can see who taught Paul, because it is consistent. Okay? All right. It says, even in your... So he tells you, it's in your mouth. This faith is in your mouth. Okay? All right. And then it says, and even in your heart. It says the word. Now, he didn't say the faith. It says the word is in your mouth. It says, and then there's the word that is in your heart. So remember this, because this is where a lot of God's people get into trouble. Okay? Because they do not understand that there's a difference between the word of God that is in your mouth and the word of God that is in your heart. Ah. When the Holy Spirit revealed it, my life changed. My life changed. Woo! Remember, there's a difference between the word of God that is in your mouth and the word of God that is in your heart. So now Paul is now explaining. He has to explain now. He has to distinguish between the two. Okay? Because the word of God that is in your mouth has a purpose. But then he also identifies that there's also a word of God that is in your heart. And it also has a different purpose. Okay? But the two are not serving the same purpose. They are connected. They work together. But they're not for the same purpose. Okay, let's continue to read. It says now look at this. Remember what we saw in verse 6. It says faith lego, faith speaks. Okay, so now here in verse 8, now in this last part of verse 8, he says the word of faith. Okay, that's another description of faith. That's another defining phrase of faith. So remember, the first defining phrase of faith says faith speaks. And then now he comes here now, he puts together these words as a defining phrase of faith, and then he says the word of faith. Now that one that is translated the word is rhema. Now it says, which means it's the spoken word. Okay, this is not logos, it's rhema. This is the spoken word of pistis, the spoken word of persuasion, the spoken word of persuasion. The spoken word of faith. That's what he's saying here. That's why I put together all these defining phrases of faith, describing phrases of faith that you find written in the word of God. That's how you come up now with the conclusion that faith is the present continuous state of spoken persuasion. I don't know any better definition of faith than that. And it's being delivered to you. It's being delivered to you here on what the word says. Okay, so now what's the difference between the word of God that is in your mouth and the word of God that is in your heart? Because he says the word is in your mouth, the word is in your heart. It says that spoken word of faith. It says there's a spoken word of faith that is in your heart and there's one that is in your mouth. And it says, now, why is he now bringing these distinctions? Because these words, they're serving different purposes. It's not the same thing. So a lot of people, okay, let's finish it first, and then I can come back to that, to what I wanted to share with you now. Okay, it says that is that rhema pistis, which we preach. That is the spoken word of faith, which we speak, which we preach. Glory to God. Now, verse 9, it says that if you're not convinced that faith is the spoken word, And faith is that state, all right? Present continuous, spoken persuasion. That means it says something. Faith is a voice. Faith is, we'll see it. Faith speaks. Hiya. Piece this Lego. Hallelujah. So this is what we're talking. This now we're getting into the intricacies of spiritual grammar with spiritual intelligence. Okay. You're not convinced that faith speaks? Faith is the spoken word. Okay, let's go to verse 9. It says that if you shall confess, homologia. So listen, because Paul understands that he cannot mess this teaching up. All right, he can't afford to, because this has to do with the salvation of men's souls. Do you understand? So there's a lot of pressure. He's under pressure. So that's why he's telling you that you confess with your mouth, because he doesn't want you to miss it, because the pressure is too much. Because Jesus is like, you cannot mess this teaching up, Paul. Otherwise, people are going to die and go to hell. So everything that you're going to teach now, I'm teaching you this so you can go and deliver it to the whole world. But don't mess the teaching up. So the Apostle Paul is under pressure to deliver this message in as simple. Because remember, the many things that the Apostle Paul taught that the Apostle Peter said, they're very difficult to understand. But this one, he has to break it down. So now he tells you, this is where it works. In your mouth, it's in your mouth. Okay? But also remember, there's a word that is in your heart. But this word of it, it's in your mouth. It's in your mouth. It says now, if you confess with your mouth, it says, verse 9, it says that if you shall confess with your mouth, faith is the spoken word, present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Faith is the spoken word of God. Okay, and it says, and you believe, it says, you confess with your mouth, and then it says, and believe in your heart. So, now what does that mean? Slow it down, okay, slow it down. Let's take a few steps. It says confess with the word of faith is in your mouth. Okay, and it says the word of faith which we preach is in your heart. And then it says, so now if you confess with your mouth, okay, and then it says, and then you believe with your heart. It says believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So now faith is persuasion, and persuasion comes from speaking. Okay? That's the word pistis. Now believing is pisto. Pisto means to think. So now he says, now you believe with your heart. Okay? So believing, the word of God that is in your heart, resides in your heart as belief, not faith. So now the Apostle Paul is saying that there's a word that is in your heart. That word that is in your heart, when he's saying heart, what is he talking about? He's talking about the composition of your spirit and your soul. That is your spirit, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is what the Bible refers to when he's talking about heart. It is your what? It is your spirit and your soul together. You see, your spirit is the one that has a soul. Okay, so sometimes it's used, spirit, soul is used interchangeably, because your soul is a component of your spirit. Okay, Shinky, how do you know? Because when a man dies, his soul doesn't stay in his body. His mind, will, and emotions don't stay. The brain remains there. But his soul, his mind, will, and emotions go with his spirit. So that means that the man's soul, a man's mind, will, and emotions are a part of his spirit. Okay. So now when he says, believe with your heart. Now he's talking about your soul, your heart. All right. Your spirit, your soul together. That is your heart. That is where belief works. All right. But then when you get deeper into the word pistou, which is belief, it means to think to be true. That means that you, in your mind, you have accepted that it is true that Jesus was raised from the dead. That is all happening in your mind, in your heart. That is not faith. He says, that work there of the word of God in your soul, that work there of the word of God in your heart is belief, is not faith. But faith is when the word, when that word that is in your heart, that you have believed, when it is spoken, now that is faith. It graduates from belief to faith. So as long as the word of God is in your heart, it is, you're not in faith. It's not faith yet. But the moment that word that is in your heart, that word that is in your heart, I'm a new creation. You're quiet. And it's going, it's in your mind. Oh, you're meditating on it. You're ruminating on it. Oh, I'm the righteousness. You're just ruminating. I'm the righteousness. Right. And now you can hear. It's audible. It's audible in your spirit. It's audible in your heart. That is what spoken persuasion, present continuous state, present continuous state of spoken persuasion. It's happening inside. It's happening inside. Ah, and then you say, I'm the, in your mouth. He says, in your mouth. And you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He was raised from the dead. He's alive. Glory to God. Then he says, when you say it now, hallelujah. This says, confession is made unto, now that is faith in action. Confession is faith in action. That is the action of faith. Hiya. Woo. Okay, Shingi, let's read it. It's written there. I'm just saying what is written there. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart. So it's telling you that in your heart, the word of God is in your heart, resides in your heart as belief, not faith. Okay? The word of God that is in your heart. When he's talking about heart, what is he talking about? He's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. That is together with your spirit. Okay, so because it says belief, that word is pistu, it means to think. So it's a work of your mind. Okay, that means that you think, you accept with your mind that Jesus was born of a virgin. You read it in the scriptures, even though you're not there, you read it and it says that he was born. All right, a virgin shall give birth. Okay, you read it in the scriptures. And then in your mind, you change your mind. You remove everything that of science and of human wisdom that would tell you that this is not possible. And then you replace that knowledge with this new knowledge from the scripture, from the word, that Jesus, and then you accept now, what is that you have believed? It says you have believed. You have believed, but you haven't entered into faith yet. So now that you have believed, and then you say, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Now that is faith. Now, the moment it comes onto your mouth, it is released from your mouth, it's faith. This says that if you shall confess with your mouth, verse 9, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. It says, for with the heart man believes. So it tells you that belief happens in your heart. The word, it says, the word is in your mouth. And that word of faith, that spoken word of faith, that rhema pistis, says it is in your heart. Says there's the one that is in your mouth, stoma. Says then there's that word that is in your heart. And it says, for with the heart, man believes. Hallelujah. Pistu, which is man thinks to be true. Okay, and it says, and with the mouth, with the mouth, confession, declaration, that word of God that was in your heart, that was in your mind, residing in your heart as belief, when that word is now in your mouth, that is faith. So faith is the spoken word, the spoken word, the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. So it's the present continuous state. Hallelujah. The present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Hiya. When you put all those definitions and all those words together, glory to God. Hey, are you convinced? This is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, how shall they call on him? How shall they call on him? How shall they call on him? Whosoever shall call. go and find out what that word call is. It's talking about declaration. It's talking about speaking. It's talking about saying. It says it's only when you say that salvation takes place. So faith is spoken. Faith is spoken. The word of God in your heart is not faith. The word of God in your heart. The Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says, with the heart man believes. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul, he was very learned and he was very good with explanations. He would have put there, with your heart, faith works unto salvation. He could say, with your heart, pistis, works unto salvation. But it says, with your heart, man, pistou, which is think to be true. Now, pistis is persuasion. You're persuaded. You have been persuaded. Through speaking, through the spoken word. Okay? So that's why it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, this has become too long again. So what is it then? Hey, we're talking spiritual grammar. these are the workings of spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. So now we take all these definitions, all these descriptions of the words that the Holy Spirit carefully chose. Says words which were carefully chosen by the Holy Spirit. Words which were carefully chosen by the Holy Spirit and put together. It says holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then put to us these defining words. It says faith speaks. And then it says the spoken word, the word of faith, the spoken word, the rhema of what? Of pistis. The other one, it says the what? Pistis lego. Faith speaks, faith announces. What more do you want the words to say to you? What other explanation or definition of faith do you want? Are you looking for? Are you waiting for? When the word has delivered to us this one, this is the best one. There's no better one. Okay, this is one witness, all right? We need another one. Because remember, James said, this is not enough. He said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. You know? Okay, so now let's look for another witness. Are you ready for another witness? Are you ready for another witness? Says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who shall descend into the abyss, that is to bring him back from the dead. Says, but the word is near you, the rhema is near you. Says, it is even in your mouth. Says, and even in your heart. Says, that is that word of faith which we preach, that spoken word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. And it says, the one that is in your heart as belief. And it says, then there's the one that is in your mouth. That one that is in your mouth is the one that produces the miracle. Confession is made unto salvation. It says, the one that is in your mouth is the one that produces the miracle. That is the one that delivers salvation to you. It makes things real. It makes things that are in the spirit. It transfers spiritual things into physical materiality. The spoken word. Do you need another witness? Do you need another witness? Go to Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1. That is the witness of Moses. That is the witness of Moses. Okay? About the faith of God. Remember what Jesus said? He says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Have the pistis theos. Have the faith of God. Have God's faith. What is God's faith? It's in Moses wrote the testimony of God's faith in Genesis chapter 1. You can read it. And remember, God was there. The Holy Spirit was there. The darkness upon the face of the deep was there. But nothing happened. And then up until God said, Kaya, Gaga, Gaga. Says, and God said, Kaya. Hey. It says, the Spirit of God was brooding upon the face of the waters. Hey. And then nothing was, it was sad. There was silence. It was quiet. No action. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. There was that darkness was still on the face. But then when God said, let there be light. That is faith. Glory to God. There you have it again. Ah, this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching us here. Ah, now that's the witness of Moses, of the faith of God in Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so we have the witness of the Apostle Paul. Now that's the witness of Moses. Now let's hear the witness of Jesus himself. The witness of Jesus himself. The witness of Jesus himself. Now we've got three witnesses. Ah. Okay, so what about this one of James? James is... You can look for the witness that stands with James in his testimony and in his battles about faith and works. Because I know a lot of ministers that tell you, oh, works, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. That's what they tell you. So they tell you that you must help your faith with some sort of actions. But when you study the definition here, bro, He didn't say that if you shall confess with your mouth and do 5-star jumps, you shall be, there's no action. He says mouth. He didn't say arms. He didn't say legs. He didn't say head. He didn't say you must confess with your head. Hey, I'm not knocking anybody, hey, okay? I'm not knocking, it might be coming across as though I'm knocking some people. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just teaching from the word. Because I've been sitting under the ministry of teachers for a very long time, for years, listening to teachings on faith, until I went to the source. I was depending on the middleman for a very long time, until I decided to go to the source. What am I telling you, child of God? If there's anything that you're not sure about, if there's anything that you're not sure about God, hey! Cut out the middleman. Go to the source. Kaya, yeah. That will make you a master. It will make you a champion. You'll hear from the source itself. Kaya, yeah. That is what I do. And you know, some people, they get offended by it, or, you know, but yeah, man. God is good. I'm going to cut this here. Now, part three, we have to get into the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus regarding faith. What did Jesus say faith is? What did Jesus say faith is? Can I? There's nothing for me to add here. You can go and study it by yourself. Romans chapter 10 from verse 6 to 10. Study it by yourself. And then you can also add, you know, you can also add verse 17. And you meditate on it. You meditate on it. Do the thorough study. Find out what the Greek renderings mean. Put the definitions there. All right. Spiritual intelligence. Use that anointing. Use that anointing. It says you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Use it, and you see, you come up with the same conclusion. Glory to God. Faith is the spoken word. Faith is the spoken word. All right. Okay. Faith is the spoken word of God. The one that is in your heart is in there as belief. That's what Romans chapter 10 verse 10 says. It says with your heart, the word in your heart believes. Your heart can only believe. Your heart can't faith. Your heart believes. The word is the one that tells you what your heart does. It says your mouth speaks. Your heart believes, your mouth speaks. Belief is to what peace do, which is to think to be true. Okay. So now, next episode, we're getting into Jesus' testimony of faith. Jesus defining faith. We've heard it from the Apostle Paul as an introduction. Now we're going to hear it from the man himself. All right, the man that appeared unto Paul. He appeared unto Paul and he explained these things, and he taught the gospel unto Paul, and he delivered the gospel message unto Paul, and how he must now go about and deliver salvation to the world. Okay. All right. I trust you have been blessed. Triumph. This is how you triumph. All right. You understand. You have a full and exact knowledge of what faith is according to the scriptures. You equip yourself with that knowledge, with that understanding, with that wisdom from God. And then what do? You begin to apply it over your life. You begin to apply it over your life. Hiya. And then you begin to receive your life change. You begin to receive to see the results. All right. The more you apply it, the more you grow in it. The more you apply it, the more you grow in it. The more you apply it, the more you grow in it. Glory to God. My name is Shingi. I love you. 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 God bless you. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Okay, let me say, what's the last one? You must quote me on this. It says, it is the present continuous state of spoken persuasion. Okay? Spoken persuasion. That is faith. Like, I don't know how else to put it. A better way to put it than that. Based on what the word says it is. Okay? It's a present continuous. Hey, all these things will be responding. Glory to God. They will be responding. Ah, all these elements of this world, these physical elements will be responding. Like they were responding when God was saying, let there be light. And there was light. These physical things were responding. Ah, yeah, that is faith. Everything will start responding. When you speak, they will start responding. Ha! You take that word. Now, you're meditating on it. You're thinking about it. It's in your heart. You have accepted it. It's in your heart. Yes. Yes. And when I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. When I lay my hands on the sick, they get healed. When I lay my hands on the sick. When I lay my hands on the sick. Hiya! You're in your room. This is how I used to do hospital ministry. Hey, I'll be pacing up and down for hours. I lay my hands on the sick and they recover. I lay my hands on the sick and the healing power of God goes from my hands. I speak the word. I speak the word. I speak the word. Hallelujah. And the people are healed. I use the name of Jesus and the demons leave and I'm walking. I'm talking in my room. I'm talking in my room. I'm talking in my room. Kaya, ya, 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 ya. Hey, the present continuous state of spoken persuasion. I'm generating this thing. So that by the time when I step out, when now the sick person is there, I don't have to, there's no, I have believed. This the faith is has worked. The faith has, when did the faith work? Listen, the faith is not working when I'm ministering to the sick. Because I know some very intelligent people will be like, okay, what about those men of God that go to and pray for the sick? They don't speak, they're just there. They spoke. That is because they spoke already. They don't have to speak now. They spoke. You see, spiritual grammar. You see, you need to, if you don't understand spiritual things, you won't understand it because you think that what you're seeing there is, that is where the faith is working. The faith is not working when the person is standing in front of the sick person. The faith worked while he was still speaking, while the man of God was in his room speaking. Hiya. And he said that when I look at the sick, hallelujah, they get well. When I stretch my hands at the sick, they get healed. When I speak a word to the sick, the demons leave them. That was happening. That has happened. The faith has happened. The spoken word, the present continuous, hallelujah, spoken word of persuasion happened before. Okay, before this turns into something else, my name is Shingi. I love you. God bless you. And remember, this is your time. Don't miss next week. Don't miss next week. I'm going to show you Jesus' account on this. I love you. God bless you. And remember, this is your time.